The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Junior, TGIF, and happy Halloween almost,
yes.
Right?
Oh my gosh, yes. I am so excited. We got the kids all ready. Their costumes are all set. I don't know what they're being. I'm not sure the characters, because they're into anime, like Japanese anime.
Uh-huh.
And I don't understand it. So they're both characters from that. I don't know what they are, though, but they look great and they're excited. And we're going to go around our neighborhood. I think our neighborhood put together like a safe distance thing. Everybody's going to sit in their driveways and put the candy at the end of the driveway. So
that's what we're going to, there's actually a hayride on my road.
Oh, cool.
And I'm going to actually get to have trick-or-treaters for the first time ever in the 12 years that I've lived on this property, because the house is so far back and it's all fenced in. You can't get to it. So they're doing this hayride and I'm super excited.
That's
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to apple cider and just maybe put on like a cat costume. I don't know
what
I'm going to do.
Just whatever you do, don't give out pennies. Nobody likes pennies.
Yeah, whoever thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, did you see they had the one, I think Dole put out those little salads in a bag too. It's like, kids don't want that.
Yeah. Pennies though, I got to say, what year was that? 1902? I mean.
Oh my gosh. I know when I was a kid, I used to get pennies.
Did you?
Oh yeah.
I got nickels and I'm sure I'm older than you, so I don't know.
Oh no, up in New Jersey in my neighborhood, they
New
gave
Jersey.
Pennies. Yes.
Oh my God. Well, we've got a great show today. We really do. We've got Maura Davies at the half because it's Furbulous Friday from the SPCA. And right now we have Dr. Johnny Bowden on. He is known as the Nutrition Mythbuster and is a nationally known expert on weight loss and health. He is the best-selling author of 15 books, including The Great Cholesterol Myth, which is one of my favorite books that he's written, and The Most Effective Ways to Live Longer. Dr. Johnny earned 6 certifications. Did you fall, Dr. Johnny? You okay?
Yeah, we're fine. I just closed the door so that my rambunctious dogs would not come in and annoy us.
Oh my gosh.
Friday.
I love it. I love it. Well, I've got Butters at my butt, on my back, in my chair. He comes and does a show with me every day now. But let me continue on because I want people to know how fantastic you are. Dr. Bowden has actually been on the show for a very long time, too, going way back. I'm talking like 8 years from the very beginning. I met him through Jill Lane, and I've always been thankful for it because Dr. Johnny's amazing. He's earned 6 certificates in personal training and fitness. He has a master's degree in psychology and a PhD in holistic nutrition, and he is board certified by the American College of Nutrition. His books include Living Low Carb, Smart Fat, The Great Cholesterol Myth, as I said, and the 150 Healthiest Foods on Earth. His website is johnnybowden.com, and that's johnnybowden.com. Always a pleasure. Today we're talking about information overload and how to listen to your gut instead of the media. So, you know, there's so much conflicting information out there, sir. circulating right now, Dr. Johnny, but with COVID, politics, food, I mean, so how do we make sense of all of it? And what do we need to know, and who should we listen to at the end of the day? Who?
Well, let's unpack that.
Yeah.
You know, what I certainly let me focus in on in my field of expertise, where there's tons of confusion and conflicting information, which is nutrition and health. God knows we've got the same thing in politics. We've got the same thing in just about every subject in the world. And we're in information overload. And that's a real problem for people and in lots of areas of their life. So what I always like to remind people when we try to sort out the nutritional conflicting information is a couple of things. Number one is, we actually are pretty good at making decisions. We've kind of outsourced it to experts, and I don't want anyone listening to this to think that I'm not a fan of expertise and knowledge and study and all the things that go into expert opinions. But I do think that to some extent, you know, when we hear things, we also have to kind of work on our filtering mechanism and trust that we have an inner sense of what is good and what is not good and what is right and what is wrong. And we should learn to trust that more. I don't think we should trust our gut at the expense of educated experts' opinions, but I think we need to trust ourselves to filter all that information and to look at what makes sense. So when I talk about nutrition, I say, okay, so you have the vegans, you have the carnivores, you have the paleo, the keto people, the vegetarians, the high. It's a very, very partisan kind of an environment. You'd be amazed at how much acrimony there is. Well, you would know because you interviewed them. You know exactly. There's a lot of acrimony between the different camps in nutrition. So what I always say is, okay, let's take a step back, people, everybody who's evaluating this, and let's look at the history of humankind. So we have been on the genus Homo, which is our predecessors, the Neanderthals, all the people before Homo sapiens. The whole genus, the Homo genus, have been on the planet for 2.4 million years. Depending on what study you read, Homo sapiens evolved out of Africa about 110,000 years ago. McDonald's became a franchise in 1957. So if you look at processed food and you look at the kinds of foods we've been eating in a while, and you did humanity, or the genus Homo, on a 24-hour time clock, this food that we're eating now is about 1 second old. You know, it's less than a minute.
Yeah.
So what dietary, if I'm a consumer and I'm trying to make sense of all this dietary advice, what should I look to as the wisdom of the ages? And my answer is always just go back to foods you could have hunted, fished, gathered, or plucked, because that is what sustained the human genus for 2.4 million years.
Right.
So doesn't it make more sense to kind of look at what though that wisdom of the ages, wisdom of nature? If you're religious, you can say it's God's plan. If you're an agnostic, you're an atheist, you can say it's just evolution. But we have evolved to do well as a species on natural, raw, you know, minimally processed foods.
Right.
In their natural state with all the fat and cholesterol that they come with, by the way. And that seems to have served, and you can argue, you could say, well, yeah, but those people died very early. Yes, Bernadette, they did. Mm-hmm. But they died of cold, exposure, hostile tribes, woolly mammoths. They didn't die of the diseases of aging. And we know this because anthropologists go back and examine their bones. And even though they died very early in their 30s, they can look at those bones and see early signs of coming diseases. And they did not see early signs of the diseases that are killing all of us. So they were pretty healthy. And I think when we get confused by all the information that's coming out today, let's go back to that. And it's not my field, but I'd say the same thing with politics. You know, do unto others, you know, the basic wisdoms that come through the ages that work really well. Maybe we should take a deep breath and go back and look at some of those and trust that.
Yeah, I just think we've overcomplicated things. there's too much too much profit motivation. I mean, it's not that complicated. I always go back to how I grew up, which was, you know, we ate a salad every night with dinner, with pasta and good homemade Italian bread, sometimes butter, sometimes olive oil, maybe both. And we had meat once a week with potatoes and carrots and, it was a pot roast on Sundays. And, you know, fresh fruits always out on the table, things like that. But I just think we overcomplicate food now. And certainly people in America eat very differently than they do in most parts of the world. We probably have the worst diets, which is kind of funny because we're so obsessed with diet. We talk more about diet than any other country. Everybody's always on a diet. And it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy, do you think?
Yeah.
Well, okay,
I do, and interestingly, when you said we eat worse than any other country, to the extent that we have imported our eating styles to other countries, they have suffered accordingly.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one very funny story in terms of like how, and it will bring us a little bit back to the book tour I'm on about the great cholesterol myth, because it really does go to the heart of our fear of fat and cholesterol. So I was invited to speak in Beijing some years ago, and I went there, and Beijing, in China in general, and India, everybody thinks, oh, well, they're all vegetarians and they're so thin. No, they have one of the biggest obesity and diabetes problems in the world, and it is growing in epic proportions. So I was there, and I was going to debate a Chinese dietitian about what is going on in her country and why. So I'm driving up Beijing, and you know what I see? I see KFC, I see Domino's Pizza, I see Taco Bell, I see every fast food crappy restaurant that I grew up in New York City on foot. Every one of them has completely taken over the main parts of Beijing. So I'm sitting there talking to this dietitian about the obesity problem. And I say, what's going on? And she says, well, clearly it's because the Chinese eat too much oil. Are you speechless?
I was
too much oil.
No. I was reading last night in the International Journal of Science, the October 22nd issue of Nature magazine, and on the cover, it's got one of the cover stories is coronavirus, will obesity prove an obstacle in controlling the pandemic? And in that article, they address the obesity problem in China as well as other parts of the world. And it's just, you know, it's fascinating because we have more deaths in America, right, than any other country. Is that still current?
Yes.
Okay.
That is still current.
And so, and we've all, not coincidentally, we have one of the highest rates of obesity. So there's absolutely a connection between your body's ability or your immune system to fight COVID based on your level of obesity and the foods that you eat and getting proper nutrition, right?
100%, but I'd like to even expand on that because the case is even stronger than you made it. So we wrote this book, The Great Cholesterol Myth, about people's fear of fat and cholesterol and why that has been misplaced, why the research has shown that that is not what we're supposed to be eating. And we make the case that we should be eating a diet that is very, very different than the low-fat, high-carb, high-processed food diet that we've all been on. Now, when we're trying to do this book tour, you know, this, all anybody wants to talk about is COVID. And I,
right.
I realized, hold on a second. Let's look at the underlying condition. I want to talk about COVID too, because they are very related. What are the underlying conditions you don't want to have if you happen to contract COVID? What are they? Let's go through them. Pre-diabetes, obesity, as you said, diabetes, which we say is pre-heart disease, because 80% of diabetics die of heart disease. Heart disease is a precondition. Obesity is a condition. High blood pressure. They are all related to diet.
Mm-hmm.
The
Absolutely.
Very diet that we have pursued low cholesterol by eating low-fat foods and highly processed foods, and the sugar industry got away with murder by replacing all the fat that we demonize and replacing it with sugar, and now we're a walking nation, an epidemic of what we call diabesity, which is just that continuum of cardiometabolic problems caused by this diet and this lifestyle.
Yeah.
And what do you think that does to our ability to fight COVID? It cripples it. Mm-hmm. So let me give you the example I always use. Our immune system is like a fire department. I live in Southern California. I'm a mile from Topanga Canyon where some of the wildfires are. We want our fire departments at the ready. We want the engines oiled and ready to go. We want the fire personnel slept and nourished and at full strength. And here's what happens if you think of your immune system is that fire department, because of our diet, because of this low-fat madness, and this processed food, glut of processed foods, our immune system is constantly fighting off little inflammatory fires made by our diet and lifestyle. Mm. So it's as if my fire department is running around putting out like Halloween fires that kids are starting in pails, and now the Topanga wildfire comes along and all the engines are busy. And it is we have cobbled. Just like the fire department is cobbled by little unforced errors in our diet and our lifestyle, the immune system is cobbled by our diets and these cardiometabolic conditions that it causes. And all of those conditions make you extremely vulnerable for a bad outcome if you contract COVID.
Absolutely.
So there's a huge relationship, Bernadette.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we're going to go to break. Dr. Johnny, we'll be right back. Everyone out there listening, stay tuned. More coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Whoa.
From my laboratory in the castle east,
whoa,
to the master bedroom where the vampires feast,
whoa, whoa,
the ghouls all came from their humble abodes,
whoa,
to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Happy Furry Friday, everyone. And I just want to give a shout out to Castor and Pollux. It's a company that I've used for years, and they have officially joined us as our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. Their dog food is, I say, the best available. I've been giving it to my dogs for years, and they're all pretty doggone healthy. So check them out. You can get it at all local grocers, natural grocers. Oh my gosh, Central Market here in the Texas area. Whole Foods, you can get it just about anywhere. But I love Furbulous Fridays because they're so much fun, and that would include Dr. Johnny Bowden. He's been on the show for a very long time, and he is known as the nutrition mythbuster and is a nationally known expert on weight loss and health. He is the best-selling author of 15 books, including The Great Cholesterol Myth and the Most Effective Ways to Live Longer. Dr. Johnny has earned six certifications in personal training and fitness, and he has a master's degree in psychology, a PhD in holistic nutrition, and is board certified by the American College of Nutrition. As I said, his books include Living Low Carb, Smart Fat, The Great Cholesterol Myth, and The 150 Healthiest Foods on Earth. You can find him at johnnybowden.com, and that's johnnybowden.com. Okay, so let's continue talking, Dr. Johnny. So, you know, you've recommended a particular kind of eating plan to prevent or treat heart disease in your new book, The Great Cholesterol Myth. But, you know, you say that this diet will strengthen our immune systems as well. So what makes this plan so effective for these conditions?
Well, what it does is it doesn't create these conditions. Look, we believe, and this is, we lay out the case in the book, that the prime mover, the prime promoter, the prime risk factor for heart disease that we can catch early And I'm talking 10 years before your doctor says, hey, Mr. Jones, you've got high cholesterol. I think we better look at your heart. 10 years before that happens, you can see signs of this condition. It's called insulin resistance. And I don't want to scare anyone off with what that means, but it basically is a diet-related condition in which your body cannot simply process effectively the amount of sugar and carbohydrates that you're feeding it. Now, for different people, that's a different amount. Some people do just fine with, 100 more or more grams of carbohydrate a day. They can process it perfectly well. Mm-hmm. Many people cannot. By some estimates, up to 80% of America has some degree of insulin resistance. We can call it carbohydrate resistance if we like.
Well,
and when you think about
I wanted to ask you this for our listener because so 100 grams of carbohydrates, what does that look like? What's the equivalent? Is that like a bagel, a whole bagel? Or is that
it depends on how much carbohydrate is in the food you eat. For example, in broccoli or spinach, it might be 3 grams, right? And you could eat like a whole plateful of it. In a piece of bread, there might be 20 grams. There might be in an apple, there might be, but the apple will come with fiber, and so its effect on your blood sugar will be different. So it's a kind of complicated question to ask, but for general purposes, most Americans eat over 300 to 400 grams of carbohydrates a day.
Wow.
That's just way over. And the point of this isn't to like rage on carbohydrates. What I want to explain is that your body responds to them in a very specific way with a very specific hormone. And that hormone is insulin. And it is very important that insulin be in the zone and not always be like the fire department on call, putting out fires, getting exhausted. When it does, you have a condition called insulin resistance, which leads to all of these diseases we talked about that are underlying problems for people with COVID, like diabetes and heart disease and obesity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you think about what raises insulin, what raises blood sugar, it's carbohydrates. When you think about what does not raise insulin or blood sugar, it's fat. So on what planet does it make sense that we're treating diabetes and heart disease and with the one macronutrient that actually causes the problem, and we're telling people to avoid the macronutrient mm-hmm. that doesn't even cause the problem? And this relates to COVID in a very simple way. Insulin resistance causes all those diseases, or is so powerfully related to all those diseases that we might as well say it causes them. All of those diseases that deplete your immunity. Mm-hmm. A diet that does not cause those diseases, by definition, doesn't harm your perfectly adequate immune system. If we stop causing it to put out all these dietary fires, your immune system would be just fine, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it protects against COVID, by not taxing your immune system and your cardiometabolic system with all of the diseases that this low-fat, high-carb, high-processed food with lots of sugar and lots of starch cause.
What kind of fats, Dr. Bowden, do you recommend in the book, The Great Cholesterol Myth?
Well, there are so many. For example, Steve Sinatra, he's been on your show, I'm pretty sure,
mm-hmm.
the cardiologist and I who wrote this. Steve was a big fan of the Mediterranean diet. Steve Masley, who I wrote Smart Fat with, was also a huge fan of the Mediterranean diet. And you can actually eat a higher fat Mediterranean diet. And you can actually cut out some of the grains and starches in the Mediterranean diet. And there you have it. You've got olive oil. You've got avocado oil. You've got Malaysian palm oil. You've got coconut oil. There are all these wonderful fats. And including, may I please, 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 for saturated fat to be restored to its rightful place as a perfectly healthful fat if it hasn't been damaged. And if it doesn't come from animals that are already contaminated with drugs and antibiotics and steroids, but in its natural state, there are perfectly healthy saturated fats, and they don't really do any damage to the body. And that's been shown in the research as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk about good and bad fats, what I want people to know is it doesn't break down in terms of animal and vegetable. It doesn't break down in terms of saturated and unsaturated. It breaks down in terms of toxic versus non-toxic. So if you took a canola oil, or one of these supposedly good oils, I question whether they are, but let's say you did, and you give it to a restaurant, you say, stop using lard. Let's use this great unsaturated fat canola oil. Well, look what the restaurant does. They use it for frying. Then they cool it off when they go to sleep. They don't change the oil. They use it for a week, heating it unheating it, heating it, unheating it. By the end of the week when they change that vegetable oil, it is so filled with toxins and carcinogens and heterocyclic amines and other cancer-causing things that it is just a toxic waste dump. But it was vegetable oil. They probably would have been better off sticking with lard, which doesn't mutate as much under high heat. So we've got to get out of this idea that all saturated fat is bad and all unsaturated fat is good, because it's not true.
Well, and canola oil is so cheap to make. I mean, it used to be ship oil. They reinvented it after, I believe, World War II, right? Because they didn't know what to do with the production of it.
I'm not sure, but, you know, it was a waste product of a plant that they couldn't, they had a lot of trouble selling. The plant is called the rapeseed plant.
Right.
How would you like to be the public relations office, a company trying to sell rapeseed to a population? So they couldn't call it rapeseed oil. So it comes from Canada. And ola means oil, so they called it canola. And it was a horrible product that needed to, it was unfit for human consumption. It was so smelly. It had to be deodorized at incredibly high temperatures with very high heat. And it was just not a great oil. And somehow it got sold as this wonderfully healthy oil to people, and they still believe it.
Marketing. know, marketing, but it is terrible for you, and it's everywhere. It is in everything. I was in a restaurant last night, getting some food to go. My daughter and I went to do the elections training. I took her there. I didn't do it myself, but anyway. So I was in this restaurant, and the young boy behind the counter, thank you. I said, "What kind of oil is in that dressing?" And he said, "I think it's canola oil." But you have to ask those kinds of questions, because if you do eat out a lot, I don't personally, but if you do, you need to ask those questions, because it does affect your overall health, like you're saying. And I'm so glad that you're addressing this today, because I haven't talked about it in a while, but it's such an important subject. It really is.
We really need to, that is our plea in the book, is to, we have to really have a reset as about the way we think about food, the demonization of fat, the demonization of this important molecule, cholesterol, which is needed for your immune system, needed for your brain, your memory, your thinking, your cells need it in their membranes. And we have just demonized this one lab test, which is out of date anyway, and made it the be-all and end-all of heart disease prevention. And it is not, ladies and gentlemen. Please believe me, and please believe Bernadette, because I know she believes that as well.
Yeah, no, I do. And, you know, sometimes it's really difficult for everyone out there listening, because nutrition has become so polarized and politicized as well, I might add. But, you know, you've got, you know, vegans that don't like carnivores and vice versa. And then you got all the paleo and the raw food people. And I mean, it's all so crazy. So what should we eat, Dr. Johnny? What should we eat? If you were going to prescribe a diet today, what would it be?
You know, I always go back to my same basic, like, take-home point that I give in every 15-second elevator speech and every – eat real food. That's really all you need to know. People make it so complicated. You were talking about overthinking it. If you go back to the food that has nurtured the human genus, and we talked about that in an earlier episode, the human genus has been on the planet 2.4 million years. Homo sapiens arrived out of Africa about 110,000 years ago. For all of that time, we have eaten what I call the Johnny Bowden four food groups, food you could have hunted, fished, gathered, or plucked. So my nutrition mentor, the great Robert Crayon, late great Robert Crayon, used to say, if you're not sure if a food is good, do the following thought exercise. I am naked on the African savanna with a sharp, long stick. What can I eat? What can I catch? What can I wrangle? Whatever it is probably good for you. And that is, to me, the most basic, uncomplicated nutrition advice we can give. Eat the food, the real food, and there was no low-fat buffalo. When they were hunting and gathering and fishing and plucking, they were not looking for low-fat woolly mammoths. So eat it with its fat, with its cholesterol, and the amount of sugar that comes in normal foods, not necessarily that gets added to every hamburger bun you eat, and you will be way better off than you are right now. I can't say that's going to clear up every condition known to humankind, but it is a start. You start with the fuel that has fueled this human body for all of these eons.
All right. So eat real food. I like that. Always a pleasure, Dr. Johnny Bowden. Thank you so much for jumping on the air. Have a happy Halloween weekend. Stay safe.
You too.
Talk to you soon. Take care. All right, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We've got more of Davies coming up. It's going to be fun. We're celebrating Halloween with the SPCA of Texas. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
To tell about this guy, you all know me, and he's scared as hell. He comes to me at night after I crawl into bed. He's burnt up like a weenie, and his name is Fred. He wears the same hat and sweater every single day, and even if it's hot outside, he wears it anyway. He's gone when I'm awake, but he shows up when I'm asleep. I can't believe that there's a nightmare on my street.
Follow us on social media at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Bernadette and Junior. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, as well as KMET in sunny Southern California on ABC News Talk. How'd you like my scary... woo, did I do a pretty good job?
I didn't realize it was you at first, and this song already scares me as it is.
Oh, my God, I love it.
As you hear that piano, doesn't it just, like, give you chills?
I'm such a prankster. I'm that person that loves to jump out at you and scare the ever-loving bejesus.
Great, because I'm the one that gets scared super easy, so.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, Halloween is supposed to be fun, but not mean fun, good fun, you know, clean fun. But always great to be here on the air. I hope everyone is enjoying the show. We've got Maura Davies with us today. It's Furbulous Friday, brought to you by Castor and Pollux. They are our official pet food sponsor here at One Life Radio. They are an incredible company, and I've been feeding their food to my dogs for years and years and years, and I switched my cats over to it too. You know, you kind of go back and forth. I've got different cats with different needs, but it's a great company. If you're looking for a dog food, if you've just maybe adopted a dog or cat, check them out at Castor and Pollux. Maura Davies, always a pleasure. She has been on the show from the very beginning of One Life Radio, going into our 10th year now. We're in our 10th year. Kind of crazy, right? Isn't that crazy?
Amazing. It's wonderful, and thank you so much, and thank you for everything that you have done, not just in the last 10 years, but over your whole life for animals.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you so much for saying that. Well, you know what? I love animals more than I do people. They're not as disappointing. I think a lot of people feel that way. Animals are just amazing, and they should be treated with respect and love, and they all deserve wonderful homes. And that's why I love working with the SPCA.org. You guys do incredible work as well, and I can't think of a better organization here in the Dallas area. Dallas Dog or Two, I'll give a shout out to them. There's so many organizations out there trying to... But you can find Maura or the SPCA on Instagram at SPCA Texas, or on Facebook at SPCA of Texas page. That's on Facebook. It's Furbulous Friday, and we're celebrating Halloween with the SPCA of Texas. So, you know, Maura, do you believe that your pets can come back as ghosts? And Junior, I'm going to ask you the same thing. You know, some people say that a pet will come back if their owner is truly distraught about their passing. What do you guys think?
I totally do, and I have a story that happened earlier this year. Completely,
really.
100%.
Oh my God! That I would love to revisit with some of my pets that have passed. So I'm anxious to hear the story. Let us hear it.
Yeah. Okay. So my sweet, wonderful kitty cat Hemingway. He was 18 when he passed early this year. It was February, and he and I have had just a really special bond. He was one of the sweetest cats I've ever known. He was that cat that every time he went to the veterinarian, and he was diabetic, and then he was in remission, and then he developed a thyroid tumor, and then we had treatment for that. And I mean, we'd been through thick and thin, and no matter what treatment, what happened at the veterinarian, he would always purr and give kisses to everyone at the vet's office, just the sweetest boy, and he slept on my ankles every night. So I'm laying in bed, right, and he's 18-pound kitty. Actually, he got down to 16 pounds, and then he went into remission from the diabetes. Hooray. But he was not a light kitty cat. He was big, tall, muscular. I mean, he was neutered at 8 weeks and lived a long, wonderful life, and still he got to be a giant cat. I can only imagine how huge he would have been if not. And in any case, about a month later, after he passed away, I woke up probably 3 or 4 nights in a row because I felt him laying on my ankles.
Really?
That's where he always slept every night for years and years and years. And it was such a comforting feeling. It was not scary. It was almost like I could feel him purring. But I would wake up and look down and just feel this overwhelming sense of love and peace. And it absolutely did help me get through my grief for his passing.
Wow. Okay, so you know, you hear stories like that and they're beautiful. But I'm the inquisitive one in the room, or the one that's, you know, looking for more evidence. Like, how do we know though? How do we really know that it's not just the power of our own minds, right?
That's a good point.
Junior, do you have any stories to share?
No, I mean I don't really believe in that, but I mean, your story, Maura, sounds, at first I thought you guys were talking about like pet cemetery, your pets come back type thing.
Oh,
so
God.
That sounds a lot better. I'd be okay with that.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't really believe in things coming back.
Yeah, no, I don't either. So it's difficult for me to go there. But I love the story. And, you know, oh my gosh, I've lost so many wonderful pets. I have, if I could pick one to come back, I don't know which one it would be, you know, but I've heard so many people that they go to a dog medium, if they will, in the hopes to communicating with a lost pet. What are your thoughts on pet psychics or communicators? We actually had one on the show once.
That's so cool.
She was super weird.
You know, I will tell you, and I will go out on this limb, and I will lay this part of my soul bare for you and your listeners.
Okay.
I think there is something there, but I know enough to know that I don't know. That it's, you know, could it be? Sure. Would we like it to be? Maybe not. I'll tell you a quick story two really quick stories, and they're not really animal related, so I want to keep them super brief.
Okay.
After my mom passed away many years ago, and she actually stayed with us for a month after I went back to work after my daughter was born to care for our daughter in the house so she didn't have to go to daycare for another month. So mom stayed in the house, and it was only about a year and a half later that she passed away very suddenly. And so she lived with us. So she would be there if my husband and I got into a little bit of a spat. She would hear it, and she would always come storming in and say, "You two stop that right now. No more, no more, no more." And after she passed away, not too much longer, my husband and I were having a little argument in front of a lamp that my mom had given me. And I am dead serious when I tell you this. That lamp rose up, flew across the room, hit a wall, and a piece broke off of it.
Oh my God.
I would sell the house and move.
Yeah. No, are you serious? That would freak me out to know. I would too. I'd be like, I'm out of here.
Yep.
I'll see ya. But, you know, if you were alone, I'd say, you know, were you doing some sort of
no
hallucinogenic or something?
And I'm being funny. My husband and I both saw it. Seriously, that was one of the weirdest things.
Wow.
Second thing is animal related, and it happened to not me, but my great aunt.
Okay.
Man, I got a million stories.
You got some spooky stories in your family.
We do. Well, seriously, this is one of those where you're like, get out of the house, like now. Like, don't even ask a question. Just put it up on the market. Get your stuff out. Just leave. Like, maybe don't even take your stuff. Like, maybe you just need new stuff. My grandparents, my dad's parents, lived in this 100-year-old plus house. And there are a million stories I could tell you around this house. Here's the animal-related story. One night, my great-aunt Nalene, how's that for a Texas name? My great-aunt Nalene was alone in the house, and the rest of us were elsewhere. I was at my parents' house. My grandparents were traveling or something, who knows. And she had come over to house sit. They had a couple of dogs, and you know, she was making sure she was house-sitting and dog-sitting. So there are all these stories the family knew about the house, and if we had a million years, I'd tell you them all, because some of them are truly terrifying. She was sitting in the guest bedroom on a chaise lounge, and she heard someone say, "Mrs. Boyd." That was her name, Mrs. Boyd. And she's like, some of these kids are playing a prank on me. And she's busybody, and she's this bigger than life personality. Uh-huh. She goes storming outside the house. She's like, where are those kids? I'm going to find those kids. I'm going to tell them to shut up. It's late. Don't they know it's late? Well, she goes walking out of the house all like filled full of just vim, and she's going to get those kids and shake her fist at them. And she stopped in her tracks because in front of her strolls this creature, very furry. She said it was much larger than a raccoon, but it was definitely not a dog because it looked like a dog-sized raccoon, but it had a really long nose almost and a very long tail like an alligator. Uh-huh. And she said it went strolling right across her vision. And the porch light was on. She said it was illuminated by the porch light, and it just went strolling across in front of her. And she said she ran back in that house. And next time my grandparents asked her to come house sit, she was like, yeah, I don't know about that.
That's a crazy story. You're a very good storyteller, I might add. We're going to go for a quick break. Everyone, stay tuned with Maura Davies and One Life Radio. We'll be right back.
It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, it feels like that almost stops your heart.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
All right. That's one of my favorite songs. Junior, how did you know?
I didn't. I just love it too.
I love this song. Oh my gosh.
It's so good.
Oh wow. I'm gonna rock the house tonight. I am ready. TGIF, everyone, and happy Furbulous Friday. We are ready to get this party started, and we've got Maura Davies here with us. She is the Vice President for Marketing and Communications at the SPCA of Texas. Okay, so we want to get serious here. We've got about 4 minutes, Maura. What are some of the tips and advice to keeping our children and our pets safe over this holiday weekend?
Yes. Oh, this is so important. Okay, so focusing on your pet's safety, you want to keep them away from dangerous decorations like candles, like wires they could chew, like strings they could get tangled in or swallow. You want to keep them away from dangerous foods and beverages. So chocolate is poisonous to dogs, also to cats to a greater extent with dogs. No chocolate, just don't. But also alcohol is a huge no-no. Raisins, there's a ton of other food. If you don't know what's not good for your pet, just Google it. Seriously, it's important to know. Those are big ones for Halloween, though. And, of course, don't give any chicken bones, turkey bones, that kind of thing.
Right.
That's not good either.
Well, and make sure they have their tags on, too, right, Maura?
Yes.
That's something I'm super... I'm so adamant about it because, you know, things can happen. Mm-hmm. In fact, last night, one of my dogs got left out for a couple hours. I had a dog sitter here. It happened by mistake, quite innocently. Mm-hmm. But, thank God everything was okay. But it unnerved me quite a bit because, anything can happen. So we really have to watch our children and our animals close.
Yes. No matter what you're doing, if you're planning on staying home or safely getting out, I've heard of lots of different COVID distancing stuff,
yep,
for trick-or-treating. Make sure your pets are where they need to be and accidents happen. Make sure they have updated tags. You got today and tomorrow during the day, one would assume, to get the correct tags if you need it. Microchipping, huge. Get it done. It's wonderful. It's such peace of mind. People use like the GPS collars. There's a bunch of different tags you can get. Oh, they're fabulous.
I just got one for Charlie and Love, the Fi ones. Mm-hmm. I love them. They really do give me an incredible extra peace of mind because I worry about it. I love my animals so much. They are my children. You know, they're like my children. My children probably wouldn't like hearing that, but... But they are. I love them to pieces. But
Accidents happen. Accidents
yes, they
happen.
Do.
You know, they're going to escape. And so then you just can say, okay, here we go. Let's go find them.
Yeah. Okay, so what else do we need to know about the dangers of the Halloween weekend? What do we need to do? What about Halloween costumes and stuff?
Yes, Halloween costumes. You know, some pets love them, some pets hate them. If you know your pet hates them, or you try to start putting a Halloween costume on a pet and they don't seem amused, don't push it. It's not worth it.
Don't do it.
They're your pets. They're not your baby dolls. If you want to dress up something, you can get a stuffed animal and dress that up.
Yeah, maybe exactly.
Costume, I don't know.
Well, how about scary sounds and flashing lights? How do dogs and cats react to that? I never do that, but you know, if they react badly, you need to not do that, right?
Yes. If you see anything that is terrifying your pet, stop it. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's a nice reminder.
It doesn't.
Some people will set up like fog machines and strobe lights, even if they're trying to do something inside with their family. But yeah, be careful. The fog machines, that fog material, I don't even know what's in there. It's probably toxic. I don't know.
I'm sure it is.
But it seems like a bad idea. Use common sense and keep your pet safe and healthy this Halloween.
Well, yeah, then you could trip and fall and break your neck, too. So,
goodness. And then you'd be a ghost.
There you go. Exactly. And you'll come back and scare someone. But, oh, my goodness. Always great. What fun we had with you today, Maura. And Junior, thank you so much. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the week. Next week, a big one. We've got Texas Veggie Fair on all week long. I can't wait, everyone. I hope you have a safe and happy holiday weekend. It's Halloween, so get out there and scare somebody just a little bit. It's fun. Because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Have some good fun, good old-fashioned fun. Talk to you on Monday.